Evolve Business and Entrepreneur Magazine and Evolve Digital present the Evolve Live Podcast with host Howard Holley, Evolve Magazine publisher. Each podcast features leaders from the business world, civic organizations, or government talking about current issues and challenges and opportunities to shine a light on success.
Welcome to the Evolve Live Podcast. I am Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Business and Entrepreneur Magazine. Our guest today is Jane Pfeiffer, President and CEO Emeritus of VMA, the area's manufacturers association serving Flagler and Volusia counties. The VMA was founded in 1980 by manufacturers for manufacturers. And while the VMA members make products, the VMA makes connections. This year, VMA is celebrating its 41st anniversary. Let's get started. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Howard. Nice to be with you today.
It's a pleasure to have you on. So, Jane, tell me about this emeritus. You're too young to be an emeritus.
Well, I had decided that it was time for me to flip positions with Jessica Lovett. Okay. Who's been the VP of marketing and events. And I thought, well, it's her time now to take on the presidency and let her worry about, you know, how we're going to get the bills paid and that type of thing. And so we made the flip in July.
Okay.
And nothing slowed down. So I thought I was going to travel a little bit more, you know, and do some other things, but sure. it's just not working out like that yet. But, yeah.
Well, Jane, everyone knows you as Miss Manufacturing in Volusia and Flagler counties. And you've done a great job representing the organization and the industry. But tell me, was this something that, you know, as you were selecting a career that you had envisioned for yourself?
You know, I think what happens in life is that things, and you'll love this, using this word, but they evolve.
I do love it.
I think you have basic skills, and all of the things that I like to do, I was able to culminate with this job with the Volusia Manufacturers Association. Mm-hmm. I like to connect people. I had been in training, and training is connecting ideas with the people that were hired on different jobs. So that I could get them ready so they could go out. I was in retail, so I would get people to get them out on the floor. Then I was always involved with how to develop them professionally. And so that's a big piece of what I do with VMA. Then I worked for CareerSource, which at the time was Private Industry Council Workforce Development Board. Mm-hmm. It went through a lot of different permutations, basically doing the same thing, just changing the name mm-hmm. of the organization. And I worked... my favorite job with them was running the summer youth program. In the summer youth program, that's when we placed, you know, we worked with kids 14 to 21 years old, economically disadvantaged, and gave them summer jobs, but most importantly, helped them think about different career options that were available to them or job options and what would be the difference. So what did I do there that helped me with my VMA job was I made a tremendous amount of connections with all the teachers and educators in the school system. Mm-hmm. And a big piece of VMA is to be able to build awareness of the jobs and careers in manufacturing. And honestly, that's a piece of this job that I love the best, and that's the piece that I've kept. That's what I'll concentrate on in my emeritus position.
The pendulum is swinging back to that space, Jane.
It is.
You know, it's moving away from master's and bachelor's to more mm-hmm. skills and trade-based careers and jobs and education. So
yes.
I think you're in the right space, and it seems to fit with the background that you have. I'd just say it isn't just manufacturing, though. The need for getting people to think about different careers, I think it's become much more evident with the coronavirus pandemic we've just experienced.
Well, yes, definitely. I think people are taking a step back. You know, we certainly have a skilled labor shortage, which mm-hmm. manufacturing has had for a long time. Mm-hmm. And careers in manufacturing really are, they're high tech. They're no longer mm-hmm. just assembly kinds of jobs.
Sure.
You need to have top skills. You have to have good math skills in order to be able to get a good job in manufacturing. And the jobs in manufacturing pay much higher than other jobs, industries, particularly in our particular area, Volusia and mm-hmm. Flagler counties. But I think what happened with COVID, you know, a few things. Number one, people are like really evaluating what kinds of jobs they had. So they want to make better choices or different kinds of choices. There's a lot of career changers. And then certainly we've seen people that were of the age to retire and decide, well, I don't want to retire yet. This kind of hit them hard and said, well, maybe I will retire, you know, because mm-hmm. there's other things to do in life besides this. So, you know, it's interesting times that we're in, but it gives us an opportunity to really help people hone in on maybe the best fit for them.
So let me ask you this, Jane. You know, talking about skilled labor shortage, and as you said, manufacturing has experienced that for quite some time. What other challenges are unique to the pandemic that your members have experienced?
Well, you know, first and foremost, of course, the safety of their employees. Mm. To ensure that they're going to be able to, that they, you know, because if somebody was tested positive, they're out for 2 weeks. And when you're already down employees, that's another hit that mm-hmm. you can't move and you can't move along. Mm-hmm. So they were really proactive and still are very proactive now. You know, in our state, you know, there's conversations that the government should tell you, you know, you need to wear a mask or whatever. But honestly, you have your own choice to make that.
Sure.
And certainly the manufacturers are practicing. Their employees have to wear masks. They practice social distancing. They have reduced a lot of their interaction in outside events because they, frankly, they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot afford for people. They don't want people to get sick, but they can't afford for people to get sick, mm-hmm. too. You have to factor that in.
I think business people have to make the best decisions for their business.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
exactly.
And it sounds like they're doing mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Right, and like people need to make their best decision for their families, too.
Sure,
you know,
exactly.
But, you
exactly.
Know. So, and then their challenges are, these are some very interesting things, Howard. People would say, and they need people at all levels. Mm-hmm. They need professionals. You know, like we desperately need, one of my companies needs an HR director right away. People needed quality people. And they were interviewing people in June and July, and they would be the perfect fit, and the person wanted the job. But then they'd say, yeah, but I can't, I'm not really going to start till August or September, you know, because they wanted to collect the unemployment benefits
sure.
and the other benefits mm-hmm. that are out there. You know, that's a big, that's challenging. And now what we're given child care and everything else, you know, the government is doing. So that's stopping people from going to work.
I agree.
And that's a big, big challenge for, you know, and VMA has not only manufacturing members, which are 70% of the membership, but we also have service partners, people that service the manufacturing industry, but they're experiencing it. It's banks, it's law firms, it's accounting firms, it's whatever. Everybody is experiencing this labor shortage. And it's impacting how people do business.
No question about that. And you're right. Everyone is experiencing it. I'm not quite sure that we have a consistent set of tools to face what we're experiencing. It's almost, Jane, as if one-off, we're all trying to innovate and figure out how do we deal mm-hmm. with this. But organizations like yours help to aggregate those innovations into tools, which then
yes.
ties back to the things that you talked about in terms of your training and career source that help you to bring mm-hmm. that forward. So, Jane, speaking about sourcing people and getting the right people, in the last issue of the Greater Daytona edition of Evolve, we have an article on FAME, F-A-M-E. Could you tell our audience more about FAME?
Yes, I think it's the move that we need to take. You know, interestingly, we started this whole conversation out on maybe, you know, like the what is it, the 360? We're coming back to the beginning. I don't know if it's 360
full
or 180,
circle.
Whatever you say, full circle, on training people for the jobs that are available. And FAME, which stands for Federation of Advanced Manufacturing Education. And it is an employee-led training program, which incorporates specific skills, advanced manufacturing technology, with the other skills that are desperately needed by all employers today. We call them the professional skills. Things on how to show up on time, how to collaborate, how to communicate. And it's embedded in this program. This program was developed by Toyota about 10 years ago, you know, which is another indicator of how far back this goes and
this
we can't find the workers
on.
That we need. It's been going on a long time. And it's a two-year program. And students who are interested in advanced manufacturing to become a technician, which is one of the number one growing jobs in our particular area, but around the country also. And it provides classes that our local employers say we really need. Kids go to school, they're kids. This first cohort that we have, they're all, I can say kids, because they've just graduated from high school. And they go to school 2 days a week at Daytona State. And then they implement what they learned at the sponsoring manufacturers 3 days a week. And then the manufacturers take them under their wings, and they're going to guide them through. This is, you learned this yesterday. You're going to see why it's important and how, you know, how this is going to impact you and how it's going to impact the company, because now you know how to do this particular skill.
Yeah, it sounds like it's, as you said, right in the wheelhouse of where we started, which is how this pendulum is swinging back to skills-based training. But you know, to me, it's also, let me say, a tighter integration between education and employment, right?
It is. That's a very good way to say that, Howard. You're very good with words. But that's exactly what it is, because you have so many people that graduate from college. They have a four-year degree or whatever. They don't know what they want to do, and B, they don't know how to implement it, even if they know what to do, because they've not been trained on what the workforce is. Because we had a big change back in the day. I can say when I was young, I had all kinds of jobs. And they knew they were training you how to work. You know, when you're 16 years old and you're working in this job, they're teaching you how to work.
Sure.
You had people that said, no, you need to show up on time. And on time means you get here 15 minutes early. And this is what you do, prepared to work. And that was part of it. And so we lost a lot of that. A lot of our young people, I don't know for how many years now, they didn't work where they can learn those kinds of things, where they could make the mistakes when it was okay, and you had plenty of people nurturing you and showing you this is the way that you work. And so now we've got programs, and we need to have way more programs, but I'm really proud to say that we're involved in one of the first programs that are like this in Flagler and Volusia counties, that we can nurture and grow these employees. And so by the time these kids are going to be 21 years old, they're going to have a skill that they can use, that they can take anywhere, hopefully, that, you know, they'll be able to stay at the companies that have been sponsoring them for 2 years and training them on all these other skills.
And there's a huge benefit in that. You know, the culture, you already have a relationship, and the social piece of work should not be underestimated.
No, it's critical. Yeah. I think a lot of these people working from home now are... No, I don't think they're going to be very happy. I've worked this whole job, so 24 years, I think, I'm doing the VMA job, and I've worked at home.
Well, you know, Jane, I was going to ask you about that. It was one of the questions I had down for you, because so many businesses now are looking at operating virtually and remotely. Manufacturing really can't do that for the manufacturing piece, but for the office and the professionals and all of the others that you mentioned they're looking for people in can. So is there something to be shared about working virtually and remotely? Do you see that happening with your members? And is there something that people can learn from the fact that you've been doing it successfully for almost 20 years?
I think, yes, they are doing it. you know, particularly in their back office kinds of jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly not the hands-on production that you have to be there for that. But the some of the back office jobs they are doing from home, I think for it to be effective, it's going to have to be a hybrid.
I think it's important
to have the interaction with people. That's how you learn from people.
Mm-hmm.
We're social beings, and we do learn from people. You can't say, well, I'm going to go to a training class and learn that. You know, I'm able to do my job because I ask questions. Or when I worked at the Workforce Development Board, somebody else, particularly computer stuff, right? Somebody would say, oh, well, you do this, and this is what you do, and that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, why did it work? Because I did the back office at home, but you're out in the community
constantly. But you had to be out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agree.
You know, you're calling on the members, you're having meetings, et cetera.
Yeah. So let me begin to wrap up here, Jane. We talk about how people learn and being social creatures. And thanks for completing the leadership profile. It's on our website, or will be. And hopefully, you know, people, entrepreneurs, potential entrepreneurs, existing entrepreneurs are often inquisitive. And they look for leadership profiles. And so I think they'll be going to yours. But one of the things that I have a belief in is that our key to success isn't doing what comes easily or naturally, but by overcoming challenges and adversity, and sometimes even failing. That how we overcome adversity is a critical component of achieving success. So as we wrap up this podcast, could you tell me what you have had to do to get to where you are in terms of overcoming adversity and challenges?
My biggest challenge is like electronics or the computer part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't come naturally to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to work really hard on that. You know, and it's a different skill set. And so even to this day, I'm learning more every single day how it changes. We've just changed, we've moved into Salesforce in order to be able to collect the data that's necessary when you run an association such as ours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not intuitive. It's a lot easier than it was, but it's still not the easiest thing. So here I am at this point in my life, and I'm learning a whole new skill set. I have to learn a whole new system. But I think it keeps you young.
Mm-hmm.
I think it keeps you energized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think what you have to learn is if you don't know how to do something, then ask.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit there. Don't feel stupid. Don't feel like, oh, I should know how to do this. Don't do that. Just ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's as easy as, oh, well, did you know the on button was right here?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you know what to do. You know, it's kind of like I call it a Helen Keller moment, you know,
mm-hmm.
when all of a sudden you, oh, now I know what water is. And then boom, and then you're off and running.
Yeah,
but you
I
have
think,
to challenge yourself.
Yeah, I think the way to say that, Jane, is to expand your comfort zone, to keep taking things you're uncomfortable with and becoming comfortable with. And as you expand your comfort zone, you expand your skills, your knowledge, your expertise in a way that adds to your individual value. So I think that's that's an excellent point. So thank you very much, Jane, for your time. And how can people reach VMA if they're members in the audience, manufacturers in the audience that want to become a member or ask some questions? How can they do that?
Well, they could reach me at 386-212-4003, or my email is Jane, J-A-Y-N-E, dot Pfeiffer, F-I-F-E-R, at VMAonline.com.
Okay, excellent. So there you have it. We've just heard from Jane Pfeiffer, the president and CEO emeritus of VMA. We welcome your feedback and suggestions. Let us know what you think at editor@evolvemagazinesflorida.com. Thank you, Jane, and I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.